Today on Real Radio.
I remember growing up saying, turn on the light. When you're little, kids love to have the light on. They love night lights. Kids love to have the hallway light on. Mom, Dad, turn the hallway light on. They love light. Listen, don't ever scold your kid for wanting to leave the light on. That is a light bill worth paying. It's when they're 16 they leave the light on. That's another story. That's when you make them pay the bill. But when your ones are little, when they're little ones and they want the light on, I'd go ahead and leave the light on. Let them become accustomed to the light. Let them delight in the security, the peace, and the comfort that the light brings. I think it's good that a kid wants the light on. I think we as adults, we need to have the light on more often. As adults, we need to draw closer to the light. By the way, little kids think there are evil, scary, spooky things in the dark. I think there are evil, spooky, scary things in the dark. Leave the light on. You can't leave the light on unless you turn the light on. And God would have us this morning in our study. Jesus is going to be teaching about turning the light on in our lives and how to keep it on.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 11 features some of Messiah's most radical declarations. In the verses we're looking at on today's program, Jesus speaks of light in the context of a metaphor or comparison. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Turning on the Light.
Luke chapter 11, verse 33, you can follow along with me. Jesus said, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light." Verse 34, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light." Verse 36 near the end there, "as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." A lot of talk of light. Why now? What's he saying in this chapter? Why is this important? What's vital? All the verses leading up to verse 33, he answers verses 33 to 36, the very reason why those previously have missed his teaching, why they missed his miracles, why they missed his parables. For example, Jesus had delivered a man from having a demon that kept the man from speaking. Jesus did a great miracle. Some people rejoiced, but the leadership of Israel, the religious leadership of Israel, said, "We know how you do that. You do that by the powers of Satan." Jesus spoke to them about being a witness and about being an example, and they didn't understand that. Jesus spoke to them about being a loving father and giving bread to your son when he's hungry, rather than a stone. Or if a child were to ask for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion. The whole teaching was obvious. Jesus put forth that parable to jar their attention, that they might see that what God says is obvious. When God speaks, it's obvious. He doesn't speak in some cryptic, impossible way that we cannot understand. Jesus makes it very simple. The Bible makes it very simple. You might be saying this morning, "Well, Pastor, I've read the Bible a few times. I don't get it." You know, want to know why? The light has not yet been turned on. The Bible is a book that has to be spiritually discerned. A child can understand it, but as time goes on, there's the encroaching darkness that covers our soul that can come against us. Jesus is going to be talking about that this morning. The application this morning is all about you and I being open to God. As we look to our study, it's this that we're looking at. That what Jesus desires to do in his teachings, as he has called them to consider in our previous studies that the ministry of Jonah spoke about his coming, death, and resurrection. He spoke about the queen from the south, that she would come to Solomon to seek out his wisdom and the glory of his kingdom. What did Jesus say concerning that? A greater than Solomon is standing in front of you. But they didn't get it. Why? Because they were missing the light. Point number one to our study this morning, found in verse 33, turning on the light, is this. Verse 33, we learn that there's a great value to light. The value of light. And I want you to pay close attention. Number one concerning this value is that light is meant to be seen. You say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that light is meant to be seen. Oh, but wait a minute. Jesus is going to do something brilliant, but a child can understand it. The value of light, certainly we can talk about the physical aspects of light, and we will. But when we consider this, the light is meant to be seen. Yes, in the physical realm right now, you and I are enjoying the fact that these lights are producing to us and for us the ability to see and to dwell here with comfort. There are projectors behind those walls that are throwing forth great power and light that you might see these screens. Yes, light is a physical aspect of our world, and we love light. We want light. The value of light, yes, it's all valuable to us. But listen, Jesus is going to be telling us simply that light in the physical realm suggests and means so much more, that it's meant to be seen. He says in verse 33, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. And if you were standing in the crowd and heard Jesus say that, you'd say, well, duh. Everybody knows that. What's his point? No one lights a torch or a candle and then puts it underneath their bed. No one puts a cup or a basket over it. What do? You set it in the most prominent place in the house. That's if you need the light. That's if you want the light. Jesus makes a simple statement that all of them knew about. That is, when you light a lamp, you put it in a very prominent place. You don't hide it. And maybe people in the crowd would have said, okay, we got that. Where are you going with this? His conclusion is going to be very simple. By the way, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, or the scripture says, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now that's spiritual talk. Jesus is saying, if you tie those two concepts together, no one lights a lamp and hides it. John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you were to put those two things together, what do you conclude? That Jesus, his message, his ministry, his life is as light. It's not to be hidden. The very person of Christ is to be exalted among those who love him and worship him. We're to hold forth his name. We're to put forth his message. We are to declare the great wonders and works of God. Light is to be seen. And we appreciate that. No one lights a lamp and hides it. Can I put it this way? No one becomes a Christian and never lives a life for God. You can't become a Christian and then take the fact that you belong to him and hide that. It will eventually come out of you. The Spirit of God dwelling in you will see to it that the glories of Christ come out of you. This is part of his great work in the life of a believer. The value of light. Secondly, look at verse 33. Light is meant to be useful. Light is meant to be useful. Jesus says, you put it on a lampstand. You put it in a place that is very usable. Why? Because it's the light that you want to use. Again, this is obvious. Everybody knew this in the room, or everybody knew this when Jesus was speaking. And what do you do with that lampstand? By the way, the word in the Greek for lampstand is a great word. There is the menorah, which is fixed. That's not the word for this. The Greek word is not equivalent to the menorah, Hebrew. This is a lampstand that we would say, maybe you've seen in an old movie. They would light the candles and they would take the lampstand and walk down the hallway with it. That's exactly the meaning of that word. It is a portable, movable lampstand. It goes everywhere it's taken by the one who's holding it. Wherever the lampstand goes, it's under the command or demand of the person holding it. And what does it do? The lampstand simply holds the candle or the torch that transmits light, and that light goes through the room. It goes out. And where would you put such a thing? Where would you put something that emanates light? Well, you put it in a dark place, wouldn't you? You would put it in a room where you want to be. You would put it in a hallway. You'd put it maybe going down the stairs. You would carry it so you don't stumble. Nowadays, we don't use those things exactly, but we would use a flashlight. Think of that. By the way, keep this in mind. The bulb is not the light. The candle is not the light. The light emanates from it. It's the light that shines everywhere. There's great light bulbs in these, whatever that is. What are those things? Fixtures over your head. The light bulb is not what you're enjoying right now. It's the light that is coming out of it. That's all important to where we're going. All important. Light is valuable. Light's to be seen. Light is to be useful. But there's something that brings that light. In Luke 2:32, the Bible says that Jesus, his life, his ministry is to be a light brought to the revelation of the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and Mary, it says in Luke 2:33, that Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken about Jesus. He's to be a light to the Gentiles, that's you and I if you're not Jewish. He's to be a light to us, and he's to be the glory of the people of Israel. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 14, the coming of Christ to earth, the Bible says that it may be fulfilled which was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet. This is what Matthew said, quoting Isaiah. That the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. Now you see that Jesus and the scriptures of Isaiah speaking about Christ, Matthew repeats it, is more than a physical aspect of light. That the coming of Christ, that for those who are in the region of darkness and those who sat in the shadow of death, the light has come. Meaning that God's light brings spiritual illumination. That when God begins to shine his light on you, you begin to think spiritual thoughts. Listen, are you starting to think spiritual thoughts wherever you are in your life? Is that why you're here today, or is that why you're listening? You're thinking spiritual thoughts now. Maybe something's happened to you this week, or maybe in the course of your life, you're starting to think, and maybe you're starting to entertain, is God real? Do I need him? Who is he? What does the Bible say? God is stirring you up. I know it seems subtle. I know it seems almost natural and common. It's not natural, and it is not common. God is touching your heart. He's flirting with you, if I can put it to you that way. He wants you to start thinking thoughts about him. He wants you to come out, as the Bible says, out of the darkness and into the light. And by the way, when he does that, he changes everything about us. It's awesome. Some things are changed quickly. Some things are changed slowly. But a change happens. Also in verse 33, we learn that light is meant to be discerning. Light is discerning. He says in verse 33 that those who come in may see the light. What does that mean? The word in the Greek here for this is that when people come in, they can recognize one another. Isn't that great? When you turn on the light, oh, that's who's in the room. When you turn on the light, oh, that's what you're wearing. When you turn on the light, so it's great to be with you. You don't know anybody unless you come into a room full of lights. Well, light is discerning spiritually. When the light of God is in our hearts, we can understand something about fellowship. We can understand something about what God wants to do. Light is discerning. It exposes things. Remember this. We forget so often about this. Remember our first mom and dad? Our original mom and dad. Our DNA goes all the way back. Think of our first mom and dad, Adam and Eve. Remember, they were created perfect. And then Eve sinned. What Adam did was actually worse than Eve. Eve was deceived, but Adam transgressed. Our original mom and dad, who, according to the Hebrew scriptures, Genesis, when they fellowshiped with God in the Garden of Eden, the Hebrew language suggests that though Adam and Eve were naked, they never knew it. Because the Hebrew language suggests that they were clothed in light. Now that's kind of cool. Think about it. What did they look like? I don't know. What did it feel like? Don't know. But being in the Garden of Eden, walking with God, it had to be cool. It had to be awesome. But the Bible says that when they sinned, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says that in that they sinned and they knew that they were naked. Can you imagine beaming? Adam, you're naked. Eve, you're looking pretty naked there yourself. Naked, no longer displaying the fellowship of God. The Bible says that our God is light. Did you know that? Three things that the Bible says about the God of the Bible, the God Jehovah, the God who's created all that there is. That he's holy. It says God is holy, God is light, and God is love. That's all you need. That God loves you, that God invites you to come into the light, and that God is holy. See, you and I can never be holy. God makes us holy. It's God's work in our lives. He puts the love, he puts the holiness, and he invites us into his presence. God is so very good. Well, light is meant to be discerning. Listen, Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to speak of those things which others do in secret. But all things that are exposed shall be manifested by the light, for wherever the light is, the light makes manifested. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. That doesn't mean you're sleeping. Awake you who are lost, wandering around, sleepwalking, as it were. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Come out of the darkness and into the light. By the way, did you read that verse? It's Ephesians 5:12. He says, don't even speak about those things which people do in secret. I would love to be able to apply that right now. You know when you go to the market and you're going to check out? Have you seen those ridiculous magazines? Those things are insane. First of all, I'm not sure, thank God, if I've ever seen anybody buy any of those things. But apparently somebody does. But I don't know the name of them, but maybe the Inquirer or the Star or the what. I don't know. And then they've got those things. Have you noticed? It's the people. It's people, self, us, you, me, all about me. I want to be a legend. I'm God. I'm myself. It's all about those ridiculous Hollywood magazine things. The Bible says, don't even talk about those things that are in secret. But people buy those stuff, I assume, and they read, and they, oh, did you see what, I don't know, I'm really bad, but Tom Cruise. Oh, did you see Tom Cruise? Oh, what about Tom Cruise? And, oh, did you see what Brad Pitt and Oprah? You know what, you guys, I hate to burst your bubble. I know we live in Southern California, but when you leave this part of the world, nobody cares about that stuff. Can you imagine? Nobody cares. Everybody wants to, I was going to say everybody wants to dress up like Britney, which is not dressing at all, but people want, oh, look, buy this. It's the hat that so-and-so wears, and this is so-and-so's pants, and we're caught in a trap in this part of the world, my friends. And the thing I heard this morning driving in on KNX News, driving into church this morning, that all these superstars have got, they're now talking about, well, what rehab center are you in? Oh, I'm serious. Oh, you're in the one in Bel Air? I'm in the one in Brentwood. What rehab center are you in? I'm in the one in New York. Oh, I'm in the one in Malibu. Now it's hip to be in a rehab center. Why? Because these people who don't know how to live life and they've divorced themselves from God, they have all the bucks, they've got all the money to keep the lights on, but there's no illumination. They're walking in darkness, the poor things. Brittany needs Jesus. Man, that's the only thing. She had it all and she's losing it all. You know what? I hope in the end that she gets Jesus. Man, they all need the Lord. And you and I need the Lord. But this is so, so critical, because when the light comes on, when God shines his light into your soul, into my soul, we begin to see what and who we are and how bad we need him. Very important. Point number two in our study this morning is this. Point number two, verse 34, the need to see. Turning on the light because we have the great need to see. Jesus said the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Two absolute different paths. But notice this, it has to deal with the eye. The point central of discussion this morning that we need to look at in application is the eye. What does he mean about the eye? What is he talking about? Let's be honest. Is he talking about only the physical eye? No, we'll know that clearly in a moment. But he is talking about the eye. Why? Because it's through our eyes that things enter into our being. It's the way things enter into our soul, things enter into our mind. It's through the eye that things enter into our spirit. Watch this. If you're going to talk to somebody, maybe you're going to discipline your child and you say to them, look at me in the eye. I'm going to tell you something. Next time you paint the dog, you're going to get grounded. If it's serious, you're going to say, look at me in the eye. Lovers, what do? They look at each other in the eyes. In the eyes. If you're trying to communicate anything of meaning, value, and of importance, you're going to look right into the eyes. No one appreciates someone who's talking to them. Have you ever talked to people like this? I have. They're talking to you, and you're talking to them, and they're looking right over your shoulder at other things going on. And you're wondering, is this person even listening? Well, what's very, very essential about that is that when the Lord is communicating to us, he speaks to us directly. He announces to us clearly.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Turning on the Light. A look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 33 through 36. It's part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that Calvary Chapel Chino Hills also has other media outreaches. HisChannel.com, for instance, carries our television outreach Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's on HisChannel.com, which also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And in fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about that.
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment, yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time at hischannel.com.
Okay, you can find out more by visiting hischannel.com or simply click the link at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.